the Financial Sense Midweek Edition with Jim Poplava. Delving in-depth with authors and experts into the key economic issues.
Well, not since 1983 has there been such a sweeping change to Social Security. The problem is very few people know about it. Joining me on the program is Professor Lawrence Kotlikoff. He is a William Warren Fairfield Professor at Boston University. He's also the author of Get What's Yours, The Secrets of Maxing Out Your Social Security. Professor, one thing that we've seen over the years, we've had some improvements to Social Security, including in the year 2000 that allowed an individual to work and get full Social Security benefits once they reach their age. But there's been also other strategies that you can use that maximizes benefits for surviving spouses and for recipients called file and suspend and file and restrict. I wonder if we might start out our conversation, if you could talk about those briefly, and let's talk about what's working its way through Congress.
Well, it's not just working its way. It's already been passed and signed by the president that some of the strategies that one could have followed a week ago, or for many people, you won't be able to take those strategies anymore. The government, with rewriting of a couple lines of law, has taken away tens of thousands of dollars in benefits for millions of people that are just starting retirement or about to retire. And they've done so without any hearings. They've done so with the dead of night. You know, in the last minute, they put together some bill that eliminates your ability, if you're a married couple, to have one spouse file for his retirement benefit at for retirement age and have the other spouse file just for a spousal benefit and wait till 70 to take her retirement benefit. And the spouse, the husband, let's say, who does the filing and suspending would then also wait till 70 to collect his retirement benefit. So that's a strategy that has been identified by me and others as something that people could use to help raise their Social Security benefits or lifetime benefits. Part of a lifetime maximization strategy, give them some income for about 4 years to tide them over so they could wait to 70 to take the highest possible retirement benefit. We have a very long retirement to face. Many of us are going to live to 100. And I thought it was very important for people to try and wait till 70, and this was a way to help them out doing that. Now, this is being shut down for anybody who's not within 6 months of reaching 66. They've grandfathered people who are 65 and a half and older, but anybody younger than that cannot file and suspend and also provide a benefit for a spouse. In addition, if you have an older spouse, let's suppose you've got a husband who's 4 years older, maybe even 10 years older than you are, and you're now, let's say, 60, and you reach full retirement age, and he's already collecting, he's over 70, he's collecting his benefit. It used to be that when you reached full retirement age, you were able to take just the spousal benefit. Now you'll have to take both your spousal benefit and your retirement benefit if you take either one of the two. In that case, they'll just give you the larger of the two benefits. So what they're going to do is wipe out one of the two benefits since you're only going to get one of the two benefits. They're forcing you, what they're doing is called deeming. They're deeming you to be taking both benefits even though you only want to take one benefit and let the other one grow. You can't do that anymore under this new law. If you are under age 62, as of December 31st this year, you're not able to do what everybody else has been able to do in the past since the year 2000. So you're going to be deprived of getting a spousal benefit between 66 and 70, between full retirement age and 70. And that may lead you to take your retirement benefit early. And in that case, you're going to end up with your entire old age receiving a lower benefit than would otherwise be the case. So this thing has a lot of pernicious implications for people. It's basically lowering the incomes of massive amounts of baby boomers just when we should be doing the opposite. We should be trying to figure out how to get them to be patient at no cost to the government. You know, the cost to the government of being patient in terms of waiting till 70 to take your retirement benefit versus 62, on an actual basis, the government's saying it doesn't matter. It's the same difference to the government. But if people do wait till 70, they get a much higher check. And therefore, we should be trying to get everybody to wait till 70. And everything in this bill is leading to the opposite behavior.
Professor, let me stop you there. Social Security has been called, what, the third or fourth rail of politics. Usually when you have something this sweeping, as this bill is. There's a public debate. Both sides jockey back and forth. This side wants to do it one way, the other side, and there's a compromise. This was kind of like hush-hush and just slipped in at the last minute. That's the thing that really strikes me, something this sweeping, that there was no debate or no public discussion.
It's the antithesis of democracy. First of all, the language of the bill was written by somebody who seems not to understand much about Social Security. I wrote a column in PBS NewsHour's website. I write a weekly column. And a week ago Monday, I had seen the bill the day before. I thought it was horrendous. I wrote about it. I said, this bill, as written, is going to stop people's checks. Well, within 16 hours, they had an amendment that they passed. And apparently it was due to my article, my column, because I was told that by people at Social Security at the top level of that organization. So this was all done without even the right people drafting the law. With no hearings, no public discussion. The AARP somehow gets bribed into endorsing this and sends emails to everybody in the country saying they should call up their congressman and congratulate them for passing this bill. And I wrote a column for Forbes saying everybody should quit AARP. They should boycott AARP because, you know, it's a company that's selling insurance and other products and advertising, and it's not really representing the elderly. You're having massive benefit cuts, and the AARP has nothing on their website about it, not a word on their website. They have enough room on their website to talk about Sandra Bullock's identity crisis, and they have an article about the Zodiac, astrology, but nothing about this piece of legislation. And then when I wrote my piece, they had some kind of response that said that I was upset because I was selling software. You know, we have a software company. It's called MaximizeMySocialSecurity.com, and that's our web program. And for $40, in a week's time or so, you're going to be able to figure out things based on the new law. So because we're updating the software right now. But I don't make money out of my company. It's like a nonprofit for me. I haven't taken a salary from my company in 22 years since it was founded. So the idea that I'm saying these things about AARP because I'm upset because the bill is going to affect my own income is ridiculous. And they've limited people from being able to complain about them on their website. So everybody should be dropping out of AARP, boycotting it. There should be a march on Washington, you know, with picketing AARP because they're part of the problem, not part of the solution.
You know, something that really strikes me, what do these guys think? Because part of this bill, as I understand, could cut benefits for people that are receiving them right now if this is passed.
Part of what the amendments did was to keep a lot of that from happening. So I think, you know, fortunately I saw that. I wrote about it immediately, jumped on it, and they had the amendment put in. But there are people, I'll give you an example. Suppose you have a dad who's at 62, took his retirement benefit early in order to give his disabled son a monthly check, a disabled child benefit. Now he's 66. Let's say he's 65 today, this year, and in a year he'll be 66. He wants to suspend his benefit, start it up again at 70. He goes in and does that. The check to his kid stops for the next 4 years. That's also in this bill. There's a lot of nasty things in this bill that I don't think people understand the implications of. I think this was mostly drafted by the Democrats, to tell you the truth. The impetus came from the president. He was saying we should stop these loopholes. But my secretary is lower middle class, and she's working two jobs because she's supporting a husband who is watching as a full-time job their disabled child. Okay, so she was planning at 66, which is in 2 years, to stop working both jobs and just work one job, only work 40 hours a week rather than 80 hours a week. And she was counting on this spouse benefit that she could get for her husband in order to be able to wait till 70 to take her own benefit. Now she won't be able to do that. Now he will not be able to get a spousal benefit. The only way she can get him a spousal benefit is she has to take her own retirement benefit early at 66, which means she'll have a permanently lower retirement for him and her and for their child for the rest of their life. So she'll probably be forced to work till 70 for 80 hours a week. This is what President Obama calls a loophole. And this is an aggressive filing strategy. It's the way he described in his budget. This is what knee-jerk liberals think is the case here. I consider myself a liberal, and I voted for the president twice, so I'm not coming at this as somebody who's politically opposed to the Democrats, but I see people presuming things that just are not necessarily the case, that this is some set of provisions that was designed to help the rich and is only being used by the rich and is costing the country gazillions of dollars. There's no evidence of any of this. It may be all true, and maybe the British are the only ones who are capitalizing on this, but my secretary is right next door, and I can put her on the phone, and she'll tell you the story. I get emails. The people that buy our software are middle-class people. I'm not getting Donald Trump buying our software, right?
Or I doubt Warren Buffett is using it either.
You know, the rich people, what they do is they take the money early, and they say, screw it, I'm going to just take the money, give it to my broker, and forget about it. And there's this new study by John Chauvin, who's an economist, well-respected economist at Stanford, showing that the rich are no smarter in terms of kind of using the Social Security system than the poor, the middle class. So, you know, I just think it's terrible legislation. It is what it is at this point, unless it's changed. I think there will be a lot of backlash, and I think the Republicans and Democrats who are in Congress who voted for this may not find anybody voting for them, because if I were losing $50,000 or $60,000 or $30,000, which was going to be important for my family without having any public discussion of it out of the blue, you know, a couple of years before I was collected and it made my plans based on it, I wouldn't vote for the guy again.
Do you think, Professor, when you wrote your article, you had some influence? Have you thought of writing additional ones to make people aware? Because, you know, fortunately, I get tax updates and political updates on legislation, so it was brought to my attention. We tried to get it on the air. But quite honestly, the media isn't really picking up on this. Nobody's really talking about it other than yourself, people like myself. So, you know, the public and the people who are going to get basically robbed from this aren't even aware this is going on.
I have a piece that just came out about an hour ago on PBS NewsHour. If you go to pbs.org/newshour and look under economy and then look under Social Security, you'll see this piece.
So going to PBS, they can read your article. But is anybody in Congress, anybody of influence that on the committee writing the bill, seen your articles? Because it seems like the guys that are writing it and may not be aware of what this is going to do. I mean, the president put this through because you thought it was a loophole for rich people. But, you know, a lot of times they're not aware of actually people like your secretary. A lot of middle class and lower class people are going to be really hurt by this. And strikingly, it's primarily going to be a lot of women.
Yeah. I don't know exactly, you know, where things are disseminated in terms of what members of Congress know and don't know at this point about what they did. But I'll just keep writing about it. We'll just keep talking on the phone and on the radio, and hopefully things get fixed here.
Well, Professor, I know you are pressed for time, but I wanted to thank you for coming on the program, because you wrote a book that was very influential talking about a lot of these strategies. It's called Get What's Yours, The Secrets to Maxing Out Your Social Security Benefits. And here, with nobody knowing, they're passing a law that could basically neutralize or cut out a lot of these strategies. So keep up the good work.
Yeah, we'll have an update of the book in the spring, but in the meantime, if you go to maximizemysocialsecurity.com in about a week's time, we'll have a new version of the software out that gives people the proper strategies given the new law, and there's a lot more complexity to the decisions of certain people, so it's worth using that $40 program.
All right, Professor.
All best to you. Thanks for having me.
You betcha. Bye-bye. Well, that was Professor Lawrence Kotlikoff, a noted expert on Social Security. I mean, he wrote a recent book that came out in February of this year, Get What's Yours, The Secrets to Maxing Out Your Social Security Benefits. It was right around that time I was taking courses on Social Security and Medicare. And of course, we've covered a lot of these issues on the program recently. And here, with nobody knowing, they're about to pass the most sweeping change to Social Security since 1983, and nobody's talking about it. That's the real shame. And as you heard the professor there, it's amazing that ARP is not even cutting this, because there are some insurance beneficiaries to this new bill. Obviously, when you're not going to be able to get as many benefits, Medigap insurance companies are going to benefit, and it's just a shame to see something like this happen and the media not doing their job. In the meantime, we're out of time. On behalf of John Loeffler and myself, we'd like to thank you for joining us here on Lifetime Income. Until we talk again, we hope you have a pleasant week.
You can subscribe to Financial Sense NewsHour in the iTunes and BlackBerry podcast libraries, or at feeds.feedburner.com/FSN. Find more information about our guests at www.financialsense.com/newshour. friend us at www.facebook.com/financialsenseonline. For our on-the-go listeners, you can access Financial Sense on your mobile device at m.financialsense.com. The Financial Sense News Hour is for informational and educational purposes only and should not be considered as a solicitation or offer to purchase or sell any securities. The investments, investment strategies, and investment philosophies discussed or presented on the News Hour each involve their own unique risk factors, which are not discussed on the show. Responses to listener inquiries are based on the personal opinions of James Poplava and do not take into account listeners' suitability, objectives, or risk tolerance. Financial Sense News Hour and its parent company shall not be liable for any financial losses that result from investing in any companies profiled on or advertising with Financial Sense, or arising out of the use of any material on the News Hour. Be advised that you invest at your own risk.